The House will come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Another busy day in Olympia, another new episode of Capital Ideas. You know what this is. It's the podcast where members of the Majority Democratic Caucus in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. Some of those ideas are well on their way to becoming new laws here in Washington. Some will wind up as budget items designed to make Washington a better place to live, work, and raise a family. Some won't make it all the way this time around, but they'll get worked on and improved and try it again in a future session. Today's ideas are courtesy of Representative Addison Richards of the 26th Legislative District, which I won't describe now because he'll do that shortly. Addison is new to the legislature, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but mostly you'll hear about his values, his legislative goals, the bills he's working on here in his first month in Olympia, and his dog, Blue. We recorded this conversation on Friday, February 7th, 2025, and I hope you'll listen to every word. Here goes. Welcome to Capital Ideas, Representative Addison Richards, and I will say brand new Representative Addison Richards. It's a real pleasure to be sitting here with you.
Well, I'm really excited to be here with you as well and look forward to the conversation.
I like to talk to new members of the legislature because they present a real fresh outlook on what's going on here in Olympia, and most new legislators tend to be optimistic. I kind of think that might describe you from the little I've known about you from doing some research. Tell me who you are. Tell everybody who you are.
Well, I am hopeful, and I do think there's a difference between hope and optimism, as Rabbi Sacks has pointed out. But I am someone who grew up in the 26th Legislative District. I first lived on Fox Island before moving to Purdy and going to Peninsula High School. I then have lived on the Key Peninsula and in Bremerton, so both sides of the district, as it's a district that spans from the Narrows Bridge up to the Minette Bridge, two counties, really beautiful place with state parks, plenty of water. I am somebody who, grew up swimming in Puget Sound and running cross country and track. I get to be a volunteer cross country and track coach now at Peninsula, which is really fun and special. And then I'm also a legal aid lawyer. I've spent time in housing and also working with families that are experiencing violence, like domestic violence, human trafficking, sexual abuse, and working with them to get protection orders and resolve their family law issues.
Housing is one of the things I'm going to want to hear you talk about, because I know you are the vice chair of the Housing Committee here in the House of Representatives. That makes perfect sense, but I'm sorry to have interrupted you.
Oh, no. So I think those are the top lines. I'm just really proud of where I grew up and the place I get the privilege to represent. And I have a background not only from growing up there, but also in the legal work that I've done that I'm really hoping to leverage to get a lot of benefits for back home, and also to help our state be the place we all dream it can be.
I want to second your opinion of the 26th District. That's a beautiful place. Let's talk about what you're doing now in your first 4 weeks as a state lawmaker. You're on four committees. You, as I mentioned, you're the vice chair of the Housing Committee, but you're also on AGNR, which is Agriculture and Natural Resources, for people who don't work at the legislature.
You're on always plenty of acronyms, so
this won't be the last acronym that we'll hear. You're on the Transportation Committee, and you're also on Post-Secondary Education and Workforce Committee, which I still tend to call the Higher Education Committee because that's what it used to be called.
I actually got taken off because they needed to get some new members that have been appointed onto new committees, and so I am now on three instead of four committees. I thought when I got here and got four that maybe I'd already made somebody mad, but now it's nice to have an extra 6 to 8 hours of the work week back.
Congratulations on that. And also congratulations on, even though you just were sworn in on the opening day of session, you're not the newest member. There have been two or three people who have been appointed to the legislature just since then. At this point in the session, there hasn't been a whole lot of floor action yet. Right now, most of the legislative action is going on in the committees where bills are being perfected before they come to the House floor. As a member of three different committees here, including the Transportation Committee, which has to write a pretty big budget this year in a challenging budget year, how is your committee action going?
I really am enjoying the work so far holistically. Obviously, we have significant challenges. And on the Transportation Committee side, you know, we are experiencing a budget shortfall. And the reason is multi-layered. I think the biggest square that we've got to circle as a state is the fact that we have for years been trying to reduce emissions and reduce the reliance on fossil fuels, especially in vehicles. And, you know, we're producing more and driving more fuel efficient cars and getting more electric vehicles on the road. And yet the primary way that we've always funded transportation is consumption of gas, right? So we've got a real dilemma to address on the transportation side. We also have significant challenges in the district with ferries, and I am already at work with folks like Representative Nance doing town halls, but also working on fun ideas like Mosquito Fleet 2.0 for local fast ferries to become more accessible across the whole region, and then also working on how to get boats back on the water as fast as possible, diesel or otherwise. I think that in answering, especially with the governor's request, we do that, I think it makes the most sense. So there's a lot of moving pieces on the transportation side. And yeah, we're trying to move some things down the road, pun intended. I'll add too, while I'm at it, that I think there are significant ways to improve efficiency in transportation projects. And a bill I just introduced on Thursday with Republican Representative Dave Stebe is to bring together various stakeholders from, for example, Department of Ecology, cities, counties, fish and wildlife, invite the tribes and others to talk about how we can streamline permitting. It takes 4 to 5, maybe even 6 permits coming from multiple state entities to get a project off the ground. It was frustrating to learn that when I'm talking about trying to just get a roundabout built, for example, in a pretty dangerous section of road on the Key Peninsula. So I think that there is a lot of work that we can do to help lower the cost of transportation projects, streamline permitting, make sure that we're protecting the environment at the same time. I don't think those trade-offs, there's any trade-offs in doing both things.
Let me ask you a question here that doesn't have a whole lot of legislative tie-in, but are you related to the actor Addison Richards?
You know, I'm not. I spell my name with one D, and it's funny because people do think that I've got essentially two last names. So, for example, in court, even in front of judges I've appeared in front of for years, I'll get Mr. Addison.
Say there, go, Richard.
Wait a minute. Yeah, or yeah, right. Hey, Richard. Exactly. So that is always kind of a funny thing, but no relation there.
And another thing, what kind of dog is Blue?
Blue. My dog Blue is a Chihuahua Corgi, a Cheeky. He's got these massive ears. He's about 20 pounds and full of energy, but also loves to hang out in your lap, and he's the best.
They're all the best.
Yeah, they really are. Dogs are amazing.
You're sponsoring 7-8 bills already this year. How do you rank those? I know that every bill is important to someone, but some are certainly more interesting than others. Out of the bills that you're sponsoring, what would you call your key bills?
I really try to hustle as hard as I can on each of the bills that I'm working, making sure I'm working closely with the stakeholders and working as hard as I can to get hearings on each, because I believe in each issue, and I believe that they're going to be best for the state going forward. But a bill I'm really excited about right now is involving a tax exemption for small businesses who invest in their employee to go to a training program, whether that's a trade school or community college or a college. And I'm really excited about that for a few reasons. One, I didn't come up with the idea. It came from a small business owner who said that she would love to invest in the retraining of her employees, particularly her low-wage employees, who she doesn't expect to stick around for more than a year, but she would need a tax break. And I was like, that's not rocket science. So I worked with the business community and now with other folks, including labor, to put this bill together, and I'm excited to see that one moving forward and hopefully work on expanding that kind of program to all businesses if we can, you know, show real success with this one and hopefully get it off the ground. Another bill I've talked about that I'm excited about is on the transportation side with trying to make permitting more efficient. I'm also working on a pretty simple dairy inspection bill. So, right, we got to keep our milk safe, and this is a program to help do that. It expires in this upcoming biennium, and so we're trying to make sure that the date of expiration goes out a little bit further down the road so we have safe milk. That one should be pretty simple, but and that's the way it works here. There are some simple technical fixes that need to happen, but then there are also longer term, more logistical and more complex problems to think about, you know, and while I'm talking to on the housing front, I'm working on a bill to help build up our cities. It's called transit-oriented development. And this is an idea that I think could really help preserve rural space, really help make sure that we're building housing where it makes the most sense. And I'm excited about an amendment we have to expand a tax exemption for developers to help create more incentives and just work with them as a partner in this concept. Because, you know, we got to build 200,000 units in the next 4 years as the governor's requested. I think that's the mark we should hit because we need 1 million units in the next 20 years or so. And we're either going to do that by clear-cutting our way to the Olympic Forest or we're going to do that by building up in our cities. And the former is not sustainable and it doesn't make sense for our rural communities. So I think we got to take advantage of other ideas, especially in a time when housing affordability is such a big issue. And I think it's a basic supply-demand problem at the end of the day. So we have to really emphasize that, and I'm working hard on that.
Is this the kind of development we're talking about that might build a high-rise apartment right on top of a transit station?
Yeah, so the way it would work is that within a certain boundary, and the boundary line can be a little bit flexible depending on the geographic features, for example, of the area, but the idea is that we want to build high-rises or more multifamily housing in spaces near transit. So in that way, trying to make it so that people can walk to where they need to go, whether that's the doctor, to the grocery store, to other, you know, amenities, their bar and restaurant, right in their neighborhood. And in that way, too, kind of reducing the amount of traffic that we have on the road. You know, like right now, so many people, especially working in tech jobs in Seattle, like Amazon, because there's not enough housing in Seattle and prices are so high, they're getting pushed out down the freeway into Puyallup, into Gig Harbor, into even Bremerton. And in that way, it's creating more traffic and also higher housing costs.
And there are people with 2-3 hour commutes.
Right. Longer commute times. We're spending too much time in the car. So the more that we can do to kind of build up in our cities, I'm working on solutions to do that.
A question I didn't ask about the B&O credit for small businesses that I want to jump back to for a second is, would this kind of retraining necessarily need to involve a skill associated with this business? Or if a person working, let's say, at a dry cleaner wanted to learn how to be a welder, would this B&O credit still kick in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's meant to be flexible. It's meant to go towards, you know, what the employee wants to do. All the employee has to do is apply for financial aid, whether that's through the FAFSA or WFSA, the Washington FAFSA form. And then they need to, you know, provide that proof that they've applied to a program, and then their employer takes care of the rest in terms of, well, figuring out for themselves how much they want to invest. Right now, the B&O exemption is set at $20,000 per year. So, hopefully we'll see some growth in enrollment is particularly in trade schools and other programs, at community colleges, for example, so that folks are getting the training that they need to do what they want to do long term. The square I'm trying to circle there is that there's nearly half of high school kids that are not going into a program at all after high school. They're not going to college. They're not going to community college. They're not going to trade school. And then on the flip side, you have a lot of blue and white collar jobs that are really high paying and in demand. Like, we need to fill them. But we're losing so many people just after high school. And so this is an idea, again, that I hope to expand to even bigger businesses that will hopefully help the, you know, the 20 somethings that are, you know, in the workforce and trying to figure it out, ultimately land those jobs that we have in demand and get on that track.
If somebody walked in here and handed me $20,000, that would be a whole lot of money. But when we're talking about in relation to the state budget and the state domestic product, it's a very big return for the state economy.
Yeah, I think so. And the way I have it in my head, and I know somebody will make it more complicated, but I wish that somebody will find a way. I just wish an employer could, like, cut a check to the college or to the trade school and be like, you know, here's the $3,000 for this course. And then so cut out a middleman and some overhead there. But then also, if you have, right, a tax break, that's costing the state money, essentially, or that's money that the state's not collecting. But then on the flip side, if it's going to fund a program the state's already funding, now there might be some budget shifting that can happen in that space. For example, that's something I'm thinking through. But it's ultimately, I think, a net gain for the state as a whole to be investing in these kinds of ideas and helping small businesses and helping people get on the path to where they want to go.
It's the definition of investing in people.
Exactly.
Addison, we've been here for a little while. I know that our time is running out. Before it does, I want to ask you, what haven't we talked about here that, as a new legislator and as an experienced attorney and as a native Washingtonian, what do you want to talk about on the way out?
Well, I just want to say again that I'm really hopeful about what's ahead. I think that the challenges we face right now, it can be leveraged to do some really great things. The way our state government works, right, in making it more focused on delivering and efficiency and outcomes. And I've got some bills already I'm working on to help do that. And then on top of that, right, I know folks are really concerned about the cost of living and public safety. And I am thinking about, on the cost of living side, right, housing and healthcare and childcare, and working out ideas that I am excited to hopefully introduce as we move forward. Some of these things take a little bit of extra time to, you know, to cook before you can pull them out of the oven, right? But on the public safety front, I'm supporting the governor's request and working with folks across the aisle to fund police officers and hopefully see a significantly improved environment so that we can reduce response times on the Key Peninsula, for example, to things like domestic violence, right? Washington State is near the bottom in terms of number of police officers per capita, and that's not good for anybody, especially if they're stressed and trying to get 45 minutes like you would in rural Pierce County, you know, from one place to another. So I'm excited about things like that. And there's significant opportunities here to, again, focus on delivering, focus on rethinking the way that we operate so that state government is more effective for every Washingtonian.
That's why new members are so important, as they bring in new ideas and new energy. On the other hand, I hope you stay here for a long time and we get a chance to talk some more. I've been talking with Representative Addison Richards of the 26th Legislative District, and this won't be the last time we do this.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and yeah, I'll be around as long as the people have me. As I like to say, the people put me in this world, and the people can take me out of it.
I hope they don't do that anytime soon. Thanks, Addison.
Hey, thanks so much.
That's Representative Addison Richards, and that's Capital Ideas for today. We'll be back in a couple of days with Representative Breonna Thomas, yet another new face in the Democratic caucus. In the meantime, if you haven't subscribed to Capital Ideas, here's your chance. Just visit your favorite podcast provider or open the House Democratic Caucus website at housedemocrats.wa.gov and click on the media button. This is your state government. What happens here matters now more than ever. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first since 1889, the year of the first intercollegiate football game in the United States. Thanks for listening.